Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley. Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You have reached episode number 398, entitled What Just Happened? Episode 2, An Uneventful 3 Months. It was published on Thursday the 14th of November, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and in a few short moments I will be joined by Ray Moray so that we can have our chat about the last 3 months. But before then, a few bits of housekeeping. You may have had your eyes, ears closed over the last few weeks, but despite that, you're still going to know that Black Friday is around the corner. Black Friday in the WordPress space can be very, very busy indeed. All of the companies are gearing up with their deals. And to make the process of finding things a little bit easier in the run-up to Black Friday, I have put together the perfect page for you to find all of the deals. It's wpbuilds.com/black. Once more, wpbuilds.com/black. Head there, bookmark that page. At the moment, we've got about 250 deals, but that is sure to go up because the product owners are reaching out to me, well, pretty frequently at the moment, let's just say that. You can go there and search and filter deals so that you can hone in on the exact deal that you want. But also, if you are a product owner, please go to that page and click the Add a Deal button, and I will for free add your deal onto that page. If you would like to sponsor that slot and have your product or deal mentioned pride of place at the top, then there are some little black cards that you'll see right at the top, and go hit the Get Started button over there and you'll see the available options. So once more, wpbuilds.com/black, whether you're in the marketplace for a deal or whether you have a deal, go to that page and check it out. The WP Builds Podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also joined by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go out to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for their support of the WP Builds Podcast. Podcasts like this simply cannot happen without the support of lovely companies like the three I've just mentioned. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, if you've been paying attention, I've started a whole tranche of new shows. One, about 3 months ago, was with Ray Moray. It's called What Just Happened? And the idea is that we sum up the last 3 months each time a new show comes along. The first show that we did 3 months ago, there was the usual smorgasbord of things that happened in the WordPress space. Of course, things have been a bit different in the last 3 months. There's been a whole lot going on, and so that's what we try to pick apart. We do try to stay away from the drama. We try to keep out of it and be, well, as journalistic as we can, but we try not to throw any more fuel on the fire. But we also talk about a load of other things towards the end that have nothing to do with the more recent dramas in the WordPress space. And I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined once more on the podcast by Ray Moray. How are you doing?
Hi, Nathan. I'm good.
We're going to pretend like we haven't been talking for about an hour and a half. but we have. We've been talking for absolutely ages because Ray and I started a new show about 3 months ago, and it's called What Just Happened. And the first show was episode number 386. So if you go to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 386, you can see the first show there. And the intention is to do a show every 3 months and kind of sum up what happens in WordPress. And honestly, I think it's fair to say that both of us thought that, you know, there'd be a few things of note that would happen. And then the last 3 months happened.
And absolutely nothing happened, right? Nothing happened of note.
Nothing of note happened.
Nothing's happened.
No. So there's a lot to talk about. First of all, do you want to just introduce yourself and go on, promote your thing, because it's so good.
I'm so bad at marketing myself. Hi, everyone. I'm Ray Mori. I publish the repository. I started as a newsletter about the WordPress space, and now I'm developing it as more of a business. I'm reporting on what's happening across the ecosystem, but have been very caught up lately in a lot of the drama. But looking forward to reporting more of the non-drama in the coming weeks.
I'm going to drop the URL because you didn't.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
It's repository.email. Yeah.
Perfect. There you go. I'm going to say it again, though. I'm going to say it slowly so that everybody pauses the podcast and goes and signs up. It's therepository.email, which is kind of nice. The fact that you got the exact string of words that you wanted with an appropriate ending as well. That's perfect.
Yeah, it worked out well. But yes, please visit my website. Sign up, subscribe to the RSS, subscribe to my newsletter, and stay up to date with what's happening across WordPress, as well as listening to this podcast.
That's right. Yeah, don't go away that quickly because we've got things to talk about. But yeah, I guess what you really need to say is like and subscribe, smash that bell. But we don't have a bell.
Oh my God.
We don't have a bell on an email or a podcast, but you get the idea. Honestly, I'm not trying to blow Ray's trumpet beyond what is appropriate, but it is proper journalism in the WordPress space. It's well thought out, curated news, and appreciate the amount of time that obviously goes into it. These kind of things don't happen by accident.
Trying my best.
Yeah, well done. Your best is certainly brilliant, so thank you for doing that. However, the enterprise today is to talk about the last 3 months. We're recording this kind of in the middle of November, and if you've been following along in the WordPress space, you'll know that a lot has happened, like way more than at any point in WordPress's history. So Ray and I, in the hour or so that we've been talking before this, we've put together a spreadsheet of stories which we think have been important in the last 3 months. Just a few little caveats and a few little guardrails, really. And I think, honestly, a little bit of this is to inoculate the pair of us from possible outrage or drama. But we're just going to try and say what we think happened. We're going to try and stay away from things which will cause people to be upset with us. If you're upset with us for that posture, then I have nothing to say to you. You know,
I don't know what we could possibly do. This podcast is called What Just Happened.
Yeah, that's right.
We're just going to talk about what just happened.
We're just going to talk about what happened and just say it like that. So, you know, we're not trying to take any sides or anything like that. So here we go. So let's crack on, shall we? The first thing that we want to mention, I guess if you are in the WordPress space, you'll know what's going on. We've just called this one WordCamp US. Shall I take this one or do you want to take this one?
Yeah, well, you were there.
I was.
I was off swanning around in Europe on holiday and wasn't able to go. So I'll leave it with you. But I guess what I'm really interested to hear about, I think WordCamp US, you know, the drama's obviously crowded out what actually happened with the event. I was looking forward to hearing more about what happened there, but haven't been able to. So I'm really keen to hear your take, especially about the showcase day, which I've heard good things about.
Let's put the drama to one side for a minute. And I'm not saying this to sort of, you know, make it seem better. It was hands down the best WordPress event I've been to. The center was magnificent. The accommodation for many people, I know not for everybody, but the accommodation was literally like 10 meters away. So there was a lot of capacity to sort of, I don't know, relax at the same time as go to the venue. And It was just really well attended. It was this huge venue, so there was loads of space to hang out and lots of space to talk. And I love that hallway track thing. I go there in order to carry out interviews. So I sadly am unable to attend many of the sessions, but the ones that I did go to were just brilliant. And the extra day, the showcase day, I think went down really well. I attended a few of those, but it was more kind of go in, have a look around and come out. But it was a really nice idea. And the idea there was to just do something a bit different, like we know WordPress events are trying to do. And it was a full day of just showing off what's possible with WordPress. So that was interesting.
I love that.
Yeah, genuinely a really great event. And, you know, the next one, the next WordCamp US is in the exact same place. So assuming that everything is okay and the event takes place, I think it has the capacity to be really good again. The obvious bit here that we're alluding to is where it all just became different. And that was realistically probably the last 45 minutes of the entire event. And in that 45 minutes, Matt Mullenweg, typically at the end of these flagship events, Matt occupies one of the very last things that's going on. And he came onto the stage, and you probably know the story by now. And there was this whole thing about WP Engine. And we don't probably need to go into the detail of what he said, but that whole thing happened. And you're right. I think it did kind of upend the reporting on the event. I imagine there were a lot of people who had a lot of things that they were going to go home and pen on their blog or their newsletter or what have you. And then it all became that. And realistically, that is a lot of what's happened since then has been consumed around. Really, that was the fulcrum around which everything turned. That was the moment which Matt went on stage, mentioned WP Engine, and then it all kicked off from there. But the important thing in there was the event itself was absolutely brilliant. Really, really good. And like I said, if it's happening again next year, I'll definitely try to be there.
That sounds amazing. Hats off to the organizers. I'm a bit disappointed that they probably didn't get the kudos that they deserved. And Portland is such an amazing city. Did you get to check out much of it?
Yeah, there was quite a lot of opportunity to do that. And it is an amazing city. It went off into the sort of hills in the background, hung out with the usual suspects. you know who I mean. and it was really great. So, okay, so that happened. And then the second story on our list of things here is all about Automattic and Matt subsequently kind of, should we say it's kind of falling out? I don't really know what the right word is, but the conversation quickly moved away from a conversation on a stage to one in which lawyers got involved. I confess I've not really kept a track of that story. I think I don't know. I think you've kept a track of it in much more detail than I have.
I have.
Okay. Do you want to just sort of crack open how it developed from there then?
Okay. So the day, was it the 20th of September?
I think something like that, yeah.
That was the day before the keynote. Matt Mullenweg published a post calling out WP Engine's lack of contributions to WordPress. Fair enough. I think a lot of people might agree that they could have been contributing more. Could be. The following day, Matt delivered his, he was scheduled to give a Q&A at WordCamp US but got up on stage to do a presentation. And I think a lot of people didn't know what to expect. Were a bit surprised when he said he was going to give something spicy. I wasn't there. I think you were.
Yeah, I was in the room. There was definite, an immediate sense of something's changed here. Yeah, definitely. Mm. Yep.
Yeah. And then went on to spoke about WP Engine's lack of contributions, changes to the software, and attacks against Silver Lake and the WP Engine's private equity firm. And that all led to everything that's happened since. Matt's public attacks against WP Engine, their subsequent legal action that they've taken against Matt and Automattic. They're suing, alleging abuse of power, extortion, and anti-competitive behaviour, amongst other things. Yeah, there's been a lot of fallout in the past few weeks. We've really seen the landscape of WordPress, of the WordPress ecosystem, change.
Yeah, I think it was like a really pivotal moment, and in that when you attend these events, that there isn't usually something which happens which how to describe it, kind of the temperature of the room changed, if you know what I mean. There was just at that moment, Matt, I think you said the word spicy. Matt, if he prefaced that presentation with the word spicy, then clearly knew that this was going to be reasonably seismic, and you could definitely sense something in the room. You could definitely sense that there were people who were thinking, gosh, this is new, this is interesting. And some of the questions that came in the subsequent Q&A reflected that. Quite a few of the questions were about the normal stuff of WordPress, but quite a few of the questions were prompted by what had just been said. And so it kind of snowballed from there. And what we've done on our spreadsheet, we've kind of picked, I don't know, it's probably about 7 or 8 things which have happened subsequently, which we feel are significant. We probably could have mentioned a dozen more, but these are just the ones that we think represent, you know, just the more major things. So should we go to line 5, where we talk about the fact that, automaticians?
It's crazy that, you know, it's only been, 6-7 weeks since this happened, since WordCamp US, and all of these things have happened. So so I guess one of the things that happened was, you know, all of these people, so Automattic offered a buyout to a first buyout to staff, basically telling them, you know, if you disagree with Matt's direction and the actions he's taking, you can leave. And they were offered $30,000 or 6 months of pay, but they only had I think a couple of days. I'm not sure exactly how many days.
I think it was. I think it was 48 hours or so. Certainly there was a moment in time. Midnight. Yeah. In a couple of days or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So they had a specific amount of time that they had to consider this, and then they had to leave, and they were shut out from Automattic, and and then had to leave, and so I guess the biggest name to leave was Josepha Hayden Chomosi, the former executive director of WordPress. So I personally found that quite shocking that she left. I thought she's a pretty amazing person, and she did a hell of a job, you know, wrangling the community.
I think
there's been a lot of change in the community in recent years, and that's off to her for doing such a great job.
I think that's absolutely true, isn't it? She really did do a tremendous job. So maybe we should pause here just for a moment and acknowledge that, you know, that really was quite a breathtaking run. I think wrangling a community like ours, on the face of it, you kind of have this impression that the WordPress community is, you know, really aligned, all got the same goals. We obviously know that that's not the case, but I think Josepha has some incredibly unique characteristics which enable her to read the room, summarize the room, and then get people who are in fairly strong disagreement to somehow compromise. And she's done that over and over again. An amazing communicator, basically. And she will be sorely missed, I think it's fair to say. You know, definitely lost something there. But also, as you said, about 160, I think you wrote down the number, 159 people took up the offer to leave Automattic. I've got to say, that offer was pretty amazing, actually.
Generous.
Yeah.
Very generous.
So I think it was $30,000 or six, maybe it was or 6 months salary, whichever was the greater. So depending on where you were in the salary scale, you could pick this one or this one. And the terms and conditions were pretty clear. You know, you're going to have to make the decision in a very short amount of time, and it will immediately have consequences. It's not like, and then you'll work your 2 weeks or month or whatever it may be. It was an instantaneous thing. And 159 people took the offer, which obviously, you know, if Automattic is full of people who are internally fighting, that's not good. So allowing people to go under those terms was interesting. And I think there was a subsequent offer as well, wasn't there? And I think...
Yeah, there was a subsequent offer, but that was specifically to draw out someone who was leaking to the media. Who
really?
They were, who knows? Yeah, yeah. So this all... Matt mentioned this in his TechCrunch interview.
Yeah, I remember that, but I didn't realize the whole thing was around that. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, carry on.
So
I interrupted.
Draw out someone who was leaking. And so the terms were basically automaticians were given 4 hours to accept a buyer offer of 9 months' pay. Imagine that if you're on a good wicket. As Matt said in his interview, the person who'd been leaking confessed within the first hour, and they left.
Okay. Oh, that is interesting. Gosh, it's got it's got all the hallmarks of a thriller book. This, hasn't it?
It genuinely does.
From the outside, if you were looking from the outside in, obviously we're on the inside, kind of looking in. But if you're on the outside looking in, genuinely, there's maybe a movie in here. As yet undecided finish.
Who's going to play Matt?
Interesting. Okay, so that happened, and then I think subsequently, a bit of context. You said that Matt had done an interview with TechCrunch. I think it was there that I heard Matt say, and again, caveats around this. If I misheard or misremembered or just dreamt it up, I'm sorry. I think Matt said that there was. In his mind, Automattic might have grown too quickly anyway, so it was kind of restoring some kind of numerical balance in what was appropriate for the company. But I imagine also those 159 people didn't come out of all the same thing. I imagine they were dotted around the company, so lots of job postings will need to be filled to map to the bits that are now not being, you know, not being the work that's not being carried out. So. Gosh, I suspect Automattic is a slightly different place than it was a little while ago.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how he phrased it in the interview, but he did say that he did think the company could operate with even less staff.
Right.
So that's a lovely thing to hear if you're currently working there. But yeah, interesting to see that you know, they've trimmed down and but they're also hiring at the moment. So,
oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, hiring to fulfill the roles that have been taken away. Okay, let's move on to line six. We're roughly halfway through our bit at the beginning. We will, I promise you, get onto other things. But there's too much to say here. Okay, so the next one is what I think you coined the term checkbox gate, which was where WordPress.org. Now, it will be curious. I think maybe there's something lawyery going on here. I don't know, but I wonder. Yeah, I don't really know. But
we don't know.
Yeah. So yeah. WordPress.org put a checkbox on the login screen for WordPress.org. I think didn't they forcibly expire everybody's user session? So basically you had to log in. I think everybody was logged out, so you couldn't kind of like carry on with the cookies that had you already logged in. And in order to access WordPress.org, you had to tick a box, which I don't know if it's still there, actually. Have you checked?
It is still there because I logged in today.
Oh, okay.
So it basically asks people to confirm that they are not affiliated with WP Engine financially or in any way. Was it financial? Anyway, any way.
Yeah, something financial or otherwise, I think was the language.
Yes.
I'm doing that from memory. But
But WordPress Slack was integrated more into WordPress. Logging into Slack has been integrated with WordPress.org.
So yeah, there's a single sign-on now, isn't there? So if you want to access,
sign-on.
Yeah, if you want to access the WordPress Slack, previously you could just go to Slack and log in the normal way, you know, click a link in an email or what have you. But now you are redirected to WordPress.org. I think I've got this right. You redirected to WordPress.org. You sign in over there, obviously tick that box. And in that way, you have confirmed you're using WordPress.org, and the Slack is ensuring that you've basically said that you, you're not affiliated financially or otherwise with WP Engine. I think this, the wording of that was confusing to some people because there was a few tweets floating around at the time where people were saying, does it mean, for example, I don't know, I have a client who has a site on WP Engine. Does this, am I caught up in that? And there was a little bit of confusion, but I guess in the end, everybody figured out one way or the other. But it also prompted a few people to, or I don't know if prompted is the right word. A few people at that point obviously did have that affiliation. And so it, I guess, had the intended consequence. Anybody that was affiliated financially or otherwise with WP Engine had to remove themselves from the Slack or WordPress.org, or make the decision to just tick the box regardless of what it said and carry on as normally, even if they were affiliated.
Yeah, it's been interesting to see. Interesting is not the right word. It's been it's been a bit sad seeing how this has impacted the community. Because the initial discussion in WordPress Slack, when it became apparent that this login box had been added, there were a lot of people. I think it's had over 200 comments. Colin Stewart's comment asking Matt to clarify the checkbox and the legal implications and all of that. It's had over 200 comments, but it was just confusing for a lot of people who didn't understand why it had been added. It had very vague legal implications if people checked it. And then it's had consequences. It was really sad to see, unsure about whether to tick this box or not. So there was the WordPress accessibility team. They had their meeting. They cancelled their meetings initially because their two reps weren't sure about logging in. One of them is able to log in now. He decided, screw it, I'm going to log in, I think. But then there have been other contributors like Andy Fragan, who's been involved for a long time, and I've written about him too. He takes on a lot of them. He's known for taking on a lot of the complex kind of projects features in WordPress.
Yeah.
He doesn't shy away from doing the dirty work.
Yeah, because he's not that busy, Andy. It's not like he's a trauma surgeon or anything like that in his spare time.
Amazing. Amazing.
We'll get on to him later because there's another story about him which we'll drop at the end. But yeah, so some.
But yeah. So he's put his contributions on hold, hiatus, as he's put it, because he doesn't want to have to go to a lawyer to clarify whether he can check the box. He just wants to kind of get on with his life, so he's stepping back.
So the interesting thing, trying to be sort of distanced from it, is watching the two sides, so WP Engine on one side and Automatic and whatever else you want to call that on the other side, just watching over the course of weeks, just sort of get further and further apart, you know, with obviously, you know, lawyers getting involved, tweets going out, blog posts being written, websites going up and so on. And that for me is utterly unique in my time in WordPress. Now, I've only been here since about 2014, something like that, but I've never seen this kind of bifurcation of the community. And a lot of, honestly, I wouldn't recommend hanging out too much on X because, you know, if you go down a rabbit hole, it's easy to stay there. But the polemic nature of the conversation was pretty extreme. You know, we were seeing people who I suspect 6 months ago were probably going to be very cordial to one another, kind of fairly openly hostile to one another, and almost like, you know, if you believe that, then wow. And then the rebuttal, well, hang on, you believe that, wow. And so it has gone. I think it's calmed down a bit on the social networks more recently. I've certainly inoculated myself from it. It does seem to quieten down.
It seems to have calmed down a bit in the past week.
Mm.
But as you mentioned before, the trick is to look at lots of cat pictures to impact the algorithm.
This is my advice for anybody caught in a Twitter storm, is just go and for 10 minutes look at cat pictures, and the algorithm is very good at assuming you are now an absolute fan of cats, and that's all you're going to get. So good, do that.
Good team.
Okay, so moving on, line 7 on our spreadsheet is we mentioned that Josepha Hayden Champosi had left as the executive director of the WordPress project. That obviously left a gap, which has been filled by somebody I had not heard of, but obviously has a lot of experience, Mary Hubbard, or Hubbard. I don't quite know how you say that. Do you know a lot about Mary?
I don't. I only know what's been published about her online.
Okay.
So she is no stranger to WordPress. She used to work for Automattic from 2020 to 2023. She worked as the GM of the WooCommerce marketplace.
Gosh,
and then
wow.
She moved on to a CPO, a chief product officer role for WordPress.com. So she's obviously very familiar with WordPress. But more recently, she's been head of TikTok Americas. So
wow.
It'll be a bit of a jump from TikTok to WordPress. What's interesting about Mary is that she has a very different background to Josepha.
Mm-hmm.
So Josepha's background was a lot in marketing and business analysis before she joined Automattic, and whereas Mary, she comes from a product development background. She has extensive experience in e-commerce. She's previously worked at eBay, Walmart, Assurant, True Rating. She's worked for some big businesses in e-commerce. So it'd be interesting to see how she takes that experience and applies it in her role as executive director in WordPress. Now, she was supposed to start on the 21st of October.
Mm-hmm.
So she's obviously been in her role. I guess she's started at Automattic and done the usual.
The 2 week rotation and support.
The rotation in support.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll start hearing from her soon. Maybe I'm not in the right Slack channels on WordPress Slack, but yeah, waiting for her to pop up and make her mark.
Yeah, like we said, big shoes to fill from Josepha's point of view. But that is interesting. I hadn't really got a gauge of the roles previously, but that's lots, isn't it? There's loads and really varied as well.
She's very, very, obviously very talented.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that's very experienced.
Yeah. But obviously there'll be this interesting new jigsaw piece, which is, I guess there'll be some element of listening to the community, trying to heal the community, trying to figure out the path forward so that you know, some kind of reunification can happen. All the while, of course, the lawyers are in the background doing their thing. And we didn't actually mention that, did we? I think the date for the lawyers to finally start to face off in court is later this month, right? Isn't it the 29th of November or something like that?
Yep. So I think we're coming to that. No, hang on, where are we? Yes, there's so many, just looking at our spreadsheet, so many things to cover off. So, WP Engine has filed an injunction, preliminary injunction, and the hearing for that, as well as, you know, in the court case that comes up on November 26th. So not very long until this is back in court. Well, this is going to be in court, and it'd be interesting to see how that pans out, whether the injunction is granted or not.
Yeah, it will be. Honestly, that for me is going to be really interesting, because I think letting the lawyers do their thing will be easier for us to parse as a community, because it will just be, you know, the lawyers fighting out, and obviously the law, hopefully, will win, and whatever is decided is what's decided, and then we can all sort of look at it and go, okay, that's how it is. But I get the feeling that there's going to be some interesting things. I imagine that both sides have got a fair arsenal of things up their sleeves. And it does feel as if it's got the potential to develop into a kind of taking the gloves off, you know, really getting into the nitty gritty and all sorts of things coming out. It does look like it could be a fairly explosive couple of weeks. You're going to be busy, Ray, really busy following that.
Man, yeah. It'll be interesting to see what could be. I mean, we've seen a lot that's come out in these, the court documents, the documents that have been filed with the court so far. There's been some really, the lawyers are very good writers. It's been interesting reading through these court documents and seeing how they, you know, craft their arguments. So I'm not sure if this hearing is just to decide on the injunction or if there'll be more heard, because the actual case, from what I've seen so far, someone correct me if I'm wrong, it's not really scheduled to go before the judge until March.
Oh, okay.
So this is going to be pretty drawn out.
Like a preliminary kind of hearing. Okay. Yeah, I know less about law than almost anything. So it's, you know, I'm just going to watch and listen to the likes of other podcasters and the work that you do to figure out what's going on. Anyway, that's coming up in the near future. Sorry, sort of segued a little bit away from Mary Hubbard there, but we'll draw a line under that. Should we go to line 8? Because we sort of skipped over that one. This is a bit of more positive news, actually. And it is that, actually, should we push that one down? Let's put that one into the next section where we step away, because that's not entirely related to the ongoing drama. Now the new line 8 we've got as automatic under fire, leaks, ultimatums, drama continued. Was there anything particular in that which caught your attention? I mean, if you've been online, you've probably seen the shots being fired on social media, the lines being drawn in the sand between previous community members who were probably more cordial than they might be at the moment. Anything in there?
Yeah, I guess it's been interesting to see how the this WordPress drama, as we keep calling it, has you know, gone outside of the community. It's not just the community talking about itself, but the mainstream tech outlets are picking up what's happening and following it pretty closely now. We had TechCrunch reporting on it initially, and The Verge, and Samantha Cole from 404 Media has been reporting as well, and she had a scoop about the environment of paranoia and fear inside Automatic, speaking to some insiders there. Don't really want to comment too much on this one, but she reported about some things that have been happening within the company there. And if anyone's interested, do check out the reporting at 404 Media. They do some great stuff. And then in the same week, Ivan, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, Mehta from TechCrunch, he's been following a lot of this WordPress news lately too. And he reported on how plans for a trademark crackdown at Automatic started back in January. It's interesting to see these big outlets, in particular TechCrunch, how they're covering this news.
Yeah, TechCrunch keep coming back, don't they? In the UK, even the BBC got hold of it. So it was on the BBC website, which honestly, like, I never expected anything from WordPress to ever reach the BBC website. No, truthfully, that's just not something I would have imagined, but it obviously grew to proportions. I mean, it wasn't like it was the headline or anything like that, but it was there. There was a story buried about it all. Okay, moving on. So what have we got here? We've got, can we add anything with this line? We've got WP Engine files injunction. Have we done that already?
talked about it. Let's move on.
Okay. In which case, we're talking about a website which has popped up called the, I think it's called the WP Engine Tracker. We've got the URL here. It's called, well, the URL is WordPressEngineTracker.com. And this is a website which, at the minute, there's a big number on it. It stands at 18,350. And correct me if I'm wrong, this is, it comes from automatic, it says so at the bottom, actually. It says an automatic thingamajig. This is, so that number, 18,350, is in some way getting information about how many websites have moved away from WP Engine to elsewhere. It's not, there's no one destination, but it's another destination. Kind of curious that that website exists, but also curious as to where the, wonder how they know where these websites have ended up.
That remains a mystery. Apparently it's publicly accessible. I've put questions to Automatic to ask how it's publicly accessible. They haven't got back to me. I've published a story about this. So basically, Automatic has, they published his site last week. It has a counter that keeps increasing every day that reveals how many sites have left WP Engine since, Matt Mullen began his war against WP Engine in September. So what this site does, it tracks sites that have left WP Engine. It highlights the top destinations that these sites are going into. At the moment, it lists a lot of sites are going to Pressable, Bluehost, SiteGround, several other hosts. And it also has a link in the bottom asking people to contribute at GitHub, which is interesting. But what a lot of people have taken issue with is that it includes a downloadable CSV list of the thousands of sites that have left WP Engine. So if you download the CSV file, it just had a big list, all the domains that have left. It was interesting. Over the weekend when I had a look at this, the site just had a really basic dark design. It's got like a new design now.
Wow, yeah.
And okay. I guess it's going into Matt Mullenweg's arguments about websites leaving WP Engine. So in a lot of his interviews in recent weeks, he's talked about WP Engine being a distressed. He's described the company as being in distress, losing customers. He talked a lot about this in his interview with Connie Loizos at TechCrunch Disrupt. And he said some pretty strong things. In that interview, he said that, to quote him, he said, "We're at war with them. We're going to go brick by brick and take us and other companies, take every one of their customers." And then he went on to say they could end all this tomorrow if they want to negotiate. So, he's visually showing how Automatic and other web hosts are taking customers away brick by brick. There's been a lot of negative feedback about this site going up. There's been some ballsy people who've commented on GitHub arguing about the purpose of the site, arguing about trademark issues and all that kind of thing. It was interesting over the weekend, Cloudflare placed a suspected phishing warning on the site before it was taken off. So people reported it. There's someone else who's purchased the domain for WPEngineTracker.com, and they put a notice on there asking Matt to please stop. Okay, this is just, I guess, the latest volley in the war, which seems to be pretty one-sided at the moment. I'm not really seeing WPH throwing too many volleys. I reached out to both sides for comment on the story that I wrote, and Automatic haven't replied to me, but WP Engine said that they've asked Automatic to shut the site down, and they just said they're looking forward to their hearing on the 26th about the injunction.
Yeah. So we'll link to that in the show notes as well, and you can see it there. At the moment, 18,350. As I said, I don't know how that information is arrived at, but it certainly does seem like quite a large number. If you transfer that number into dollars per month, that's quite a significant amount.
Yeah, I looked at BuiltWith data, and they apparently WP Engine currently hosts about 598,000 live websites.
Okay.
And about 1.2 million domains redirect to those sites. So
it's kind of like this is like 3 or 4% of their something like that.
With the math.
Well, I don't know if what I did was correct, but whatever it is, it's by no means everything, but it's also not nothing. So anyway, we'll link to that in the show notes. And lastly, because we've spent way more time on this than we intended, just the one which I think for many people was the big news, amongst all the other big pieces of news, was the .org repository, the ACF, so the free version of Advanced Custom Fields, which is owned by WP Engine, that it has now been renamed as Secure Custom Fields. And I think the central point of concern for people who thought this was an unusual thing to do was that it also brought the slug with it. So rather than it being, a fork in the traditional sense of the word, where you would, take a copy of that code, do things to it, and then pop it somewhere else, give it a different name. Obviously, the name has changed, but my understanding is that if you'd visited the URL for Advanced Custom Fields before it happened and then use the exact same URL after it had happened, you would arrive at the same destination rather than it going into two different destinations. This, of course, meant that the Advanced Custom Fields plugins in people's WordPress websites, when they updated that plugin, if they had, for example, automatic updates on, then you would get a new named plugin called Secure Custom Fields. And you can, you only have to look at the tweets that were going around at the time. That was a lot for some people to take on board. Anything to add, or shall we move on?
I don't know what to add to that. We've been talking about this drama for almost 45 minutes now. It's just a lot to unpack.
We thought we'd be like 10 minutes on this, didn't we?
you said 15 minutes.
Yeah. That's what a lie that
very
was.
Very generous. look, this as you said, this was the line in the sand for a lot of people. I think this got people pretty angry. I don't know what I can add to that.
No, yeah, no. I mean, go back, have a look. You can see, ask other people what their thoughts are. But it definitely was something kind of new, and it definitely, it was well within the in the position that we're at the moment, where you've got two companies and they are really through the lawyers going at each other. This kind of unexpected collateral damage, nobody foresaw any of this, and some of it as it happens feels so peculiar, and then you look back and it's just one other thing. And as we said, I think at this point we just have to let the lawyers take it on. And I'm going to draw a line under that. That was
I do have something to add.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Oh, no, I do. I think while the lawyers could take care of it, I guess what it signaled for a lot of people, particularly plugin developers, was that a plugin could be taken over in the repository. And I think that has scared a lot of people who run plugin businesses. We've seen in recent weeks a few developers take their plugins out of the repo. Notably, Paid Memberships Pro has been taken out of the repo. That was, I think, added in there in 2011, and they've just taken it out they're now self-hosting the free version of their plugin, their core plugin, along with the premium version of their plugin. And they've been, I've interviewed Jason, they've been talking about taking out the repo for a little while, but seeing ACF taken over expedited that. I should also mention that Jason did have a run-in, which I reported, with Matt Mullenweg, who threatened in a message to take over Paid Memberships Pro. It's been interesting reporting that. Jason's obviously, he's gone to lawyers and said, I don't want to deal with Matt. He's not replying to Matt's messages. Matt has said, when I've asked him for comment, that it may have been misunderstanding, that he's tried to talk to Jason, Jason not talking to him. So who knows what really happened there.
Yeah, I think in summary, we've just had the most unusual few months, haven't we? So we've charted a fair amount of that. And realistically, if you'd have asked me 3 months ago what the possible worst case thing would have been, I definitely wouldn't have predicted this. It's been so seismic, so transformational. It's changed the community in the short term for, you know, beyond recognition. However, for my part, it does appear that the people that I know, at least, do just want the lawyers to figure this stuff out now, and they want to get on running their business, running their plugin, selling their theme, hosting their YouTube channel, whatever it may be, and they just want to concentrate on the future now, and hope that, you know, that the contributors carry on and the events carry on and all this kind of stuff. So I guess only time will tell. I think after 47 minutes, let's draw a line under this, and let's mention briefly is all we can do now, sadly, some of the other things which have happened in the WordPress space. And one of them is your thing.
Yep.
Gender equality in WordPress businesses report. Go on. I'm going to wind you up and let you go.
I was pretty devastated that we didn't get to talk about this a lot more. So during WordCamp US, WP Includes launched the Gender Equality in WordPress Businesses white paper, which I contributed to as a writer. We ran a survey earlier in the year for about 4 months where we asked people about their views on gender equality in the WordPress space. The report's pretty eye-opening. It talks about the systemic barriers facing women who work with WordPress. Including both a broken rung and a glass ceiling. So it's really hard for some women to get their foot in the door with companies, but then they hit a glass ceiling where there aren't that many women who work in some of the top roles, particularly on boards. It's hard for women to get into senior roles. And also one of the eye-opening things that I came across was that nearly a quarter of women experience harassment, bullying, or discrimination at work, compared to just 4% of men. So to think that so many women are facing that is quite shocking, I think. And something that we really wanted to do with this report was help individuals and companies figure out how to deal with this. The report does include a lot of actionable steps that businesses can take to diversify their workforces, consider gender equality. But, unfortunately, this report's been really kind of overshadowed by a lot of what's going on. And when things quieten down a bit, I really want to dig into some of the stories that were featured in this report. And, I just want to say hats off to Siobhan, who put a lot of herself into making this report happen. Francesca and Dee at WP Includes are a fantastic team that are really helping to elevate women into roles in senior positions. So So watch this space. I'm really looking forward to digging into this a bit more in a very positive way. We want to educate the community and help people overcome some of the issues we found in the report.
The link will be in the show notes, as all the other things. But if you're just listening to this and you want to quickly Google it on your car system, Gender Equality in WordPress Business Report is the title of that piece. And so you can go and check that out for yourself. It sounds, I don't want to add too much commentary to that, largely because of the time, but that does sound fairly maddening, to put it bluntly. I do wonder how, okay, this, how to phrase this without sounding idiotic. Does WordPress, although those statistics are horrible, does WordPress do favorably compared to other industries? Is that a poorly worded question? Forgive me.
No, I don't. No, that's a definitely a valid question. I don't have data on that. I'm not really sure, but anecdotally, particularly speaking to people like Miriam Schwab, Marika Vanderacht, who do attend other conferences and things, and I guess the women who attend conferences in other tech spaces, the feedback is that the WordPress community is way more open to women.
Oh, interesting.
I think tech generally is a bit of a sexist industry, and but this is just what we found in the WordPress space from people who responded to our survey. So yeah, there's a bit of work to do. We are doing better, I'd like to say, than other tech spaces, but
room for improvement still, though, a lot.
Definitely.
Okay. Go and check it out. It'll be in the show notes. Well, let's just whiz through a couple of these, because some of these we can do really quickly. Ray, good news. We mentioned it earlier, but we didn't get into it. The plugin review team, I don't know if they're still on zero, but they might still be a close to zero. For the longest time, it took months and months to get your plugin reviewed and into the repository, the other repository, not Ray's repository. And now it's down to zero with a wait time of about 7 days. And a lot of this is to do with training different people, but also there's now some interesting automated processes that have to be stepped through in order to get your review, your plugin reviewed by humans. There's a lot of automation in the way of that, which helps identify stuff which previously humans had to do. So that's quite nice.
Yeah, there's a really great team of plugin reviewers who stepped in after Mark Epstein stepped down after her decade-long run reviewing plugins. The team has developed the Plugin Check plugin.
Yep.
So that's a tool that has been designed to automate the initial review process. So now that rather than the team going through finding the same issues over and over again, and you know, imagine that it must have been such a groundhog day thing like it before, but now a lot of that is automated, and they've released the plugin to their plugin repository, and yeah, it's sped up reviews and made their job easier, at least initially. So yeah, hats off to the team. What an effort. It took a year for them to get it down to zero.
Amazing.
Incredible effort. Yeah.
I think for somebody like me, it's just another news item, because I don't release plugins into the repository. But the infuriation of knowing that you've put your blood, sweat and tears into something, and then you've got this artificial hurdle of 9 months or 6 months or whatever it once was to wait before anybody else can realistically use it. Obviously, there were other ways of distributing it, but harder to be found. That's nice. Down to a sort of 7-day process now. Okay. Next one, then, is the Kim Parcell Memorial Scholarship has been expanded to WordCamp Europe and WordCamp Asia. This is a scholarship which has some caveats around it in terms of who can apply for it, but it was to enable people to meet the cost of attending WordCamp US. And Kim Parcell, a notable contributor to the WordPress project, there's this Memorial Scholarship, and it now has been extended to WordCamp Europe and WordCamp Asia, so you can apply for it to attend those events. I couldn't quite work out whether there were three scholarships now, one for US, one for Asia, and one for Europe, or whether it meant that there was still one scholarship, but it was you could apply for it for any of the three events. But anyway, nice to have that.
I think it's for all three. So when you go click through to the website, you can apply separately to WorkCamp Asia. And there's a separate application for WorkCamp Europe. So they're the ones that are coming up. Okay. I think this is fantastic. So this was actually an agenda item discussed by the WordPress Foundation board recently in their first ever minutes that's been published. So they discussed I can't remember her name, the most recent Kim Parcell scholarship recipient.
Oh.
She went on to do some fantastic work with Learn WordPress in addition to attending WordCamp US. Apologies, I've forgotten your name and I met her during the media briefing. You would have been there too. Anyway, the foundation board noted that she just done a fantastic job, and that was impetus for extending the scholarship to the other WordCamp. So this is a really great win for the community and for women, for getting more women to our WordCamp.
Yeah, nice. WordCamps. Nice. Mm. I think I'm going to miss this one that I'm highlighting. I'll just miss that one over and we'll just go to the next one if that's all right with you. So this is to say that a nice website, I describe it as relentlessly positive, website called HeroPress has reached the fine, mature vintage age of 10 years. They've got a decade under their belts. I don't know, if you're feeling a bit glum in the WordPress space, which you may be at the moment, this is your antidote. This is how you're going to go and inoculate yourself from the fallout. It's just story after story of people from all over the world whose lives have been turned upside down, usually for the better, by WordPress, and they've managed to reach 10 years. I had Topher DeRozier on the podcast talking about it, and just to say that they are in a round of they're trying to get some sponsorship to keep the whole project going, and having reached 10 years and affected a lot of people with their commentary, I think it would be remiss of me not to mention that they would welcome your donations. So if you go to the HeroPress website, you can help them out by donating over there. Anything to add?
No, just agree with all of that. Topher has been doing an incredible job running this website for so long. 10 years, that's a long time to be running this website, chasing people to write an essay. I can't think of anything harder. So I recently contributed my own essay. Topher had been chasing me for months, and I was kind of relieved when I saw that the longest amount of time that he's chased someone down has been 9 months. I didn't take that long.
It wasn't you.
I didn't take that long.
Yeah, that's good.
But it's an amazing website. There are so many stories. I recently came across Tonya Mork's essay.
Oh, yeah. And
oh, my God. If anyone hasn't read that, wow, what a story. It's such a great website for learning about people in the community that you might not know much about, and hearing their actual story. Yeah, or reading their story. Sometimes they read them out loud.
Yeah, I think one of the nice things as well is it isn't necessarily the usual cavalcade of people. This is very often people who you have never heard of, and from parts of the world that you maybe have never been as well, and sometimes written in languages that you cannot read because they're done in their own native script as well, which is really nice. You know,
I think it's great.
Just nice opening up to those people. So that's great. Well done, Topher, and anybody that's touched that project. But go and donate if you possibly can. So here we are, line 19. We'll just do this really quick. I'm going to link to the new WordPress design system Figma library. If you are creating a product in the WordPress space and you want it to look WordPressy, I think there's a high chance that you're using a design tool like Figma. Everybody's using Figma these days. And previously, there was no exact way of modeling the WordPress UI UX, and now there is. You can download it for free, and it will enable you to replicate the WordPressy things. And it's quite nice. Anything, or should we go to Andy again?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay.
It's great to see the Figma library, but
it is what it is. Yeah, Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Andy Fragan, we mentioned him before. The context of this is a podcast episode that I did with him at WordCamp US. But it's the subject matter that's of interest here. And this is to say that a big thing, I think, happened in WordPress in the recent past. And that is to say that automatic updates can now be automatically rolled back. So if you've enabled automatic updates, that's brilliant. What a great piece of technology that is. It enables people to basically set their WordPress website on autopilot, great for security and things like that. But of course, an update might break something. And in the past, that's it. It just broke your website and you'd have to manually go and figure out what the problem was. Now, the WordPress core will figure out which of the plugins broke and then roll back to the previous safe version. Now, that sounds so straightforward. Andy, in the podcast episode, will enlighten you as to why that isn't straightforward. And the answer is that man has the patience of a saint, basically, to be able to pull this off and it work. And it looks like it is basically working in almost 100% of cases. It's pretty amazing. Just making your WordPress website just that one step more automated and secure. Great. Anything on that?
Yeah. What a fantastic effort.
Yeah.
I hope Andy comes back.
Yeah, that's right. Because like I said, he's not got enough on his plate with trauma surgery or anything like that. But it wasn't just Andy. He mentions in the podcast the names of other people who were significantly knee-deep in the weeds of that.
Mm.
Another thing to mention then, this is our penultimate one. Another thing to mention is that data views has received a lot of attention in the recent 3 months. And that is, I think probably the easiest way to describe it is if you go into something like the post list in WordPress, it's pretty uninteresting in there. You got the title, you've got, I don't know, some meta descriptions, things like that. You might have some SEO injected by a plugin or something, but you don't really have a lot of control over what's in there. I mean, you can switch things on and switch things off, but that's about it. Now you will be able to increasingly, as a non-technical WordPress user, add things into places like that on your WordPress website. So where there's data listed out in a view, you'll be able to add things like extra columns. I don't know, real estate website comes to mind. You might want to put the number of bedrooms in that list or the price of the house or whatever it may be. All of that's going to be added in. And just, again, just makes for something that non-technical people can do. And it'll spread to all different parts of the new WordPress interface as well. So I just thought that was worth mentioning because it's cool.
Mm-hmm. And it's laying the groundwork for the WordPress dashboard or WordPress admin redesign too, which is exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah. Okay. So that's nice. And then our final one, not so nice, maybe. Don't know. something I'd never heard of until this week, Festinger Vault. Festinger Vault is what you might call a GPL club. And I'm not sure. I think on legal grounds, taking a WordPress plugin and, forking it is completely fine. This company, though, have been, they've got into a legal battle with Automattic. Which has resulted in that site being shut down, the person responsible for that site going out and setting up some sort of crowdfunding campaign to raise enough money to get some lawyers. I did a show on Monday with a panel of people, and several of those had plugins, and they didn't have a lot of sympathy for Festinger Vault, let's put it that way. The idea that they were charging for other people's work, whilst it may be, I guess, maybe it's legal, it doesn't sound particularly moral, but this is not going after them for that reason. I think they're going after them for sort of trademark violation and things like that. So it's, yeah. Mm. Anyway, so
Festinger Vault has been running since about 2019, 2020, and unexpectedly shut down in September. And they just placed a notice on the website saying that Automattic had issued a cease and desist and they were forced to shut down their site. And then this case is playing out in the Dutch legal system.
That's right. Yeah, it's in Holland.
So I've been trying to track this one down, but then it was heard in the Amsterdam District Court last last month, and then a summary judgment was finally published last week. So it was really interesting to see what actually happened in September. So automatic, this is really, so these are tactics, I guess, against these kind of people, but automatic petition the court for what's called an ex parte court order. So it's a court order where they don't hear from the other person. So Martin Groot, who is the founder and CEO of Festinger Vault, he didn't get a chance to have his say. Automatic put in a court order to shut down his website. And then the following, I should add to that, with a daily penalty of €25,000 if Groot didn't comply.
Yeah,
and the next day, Automatic, up to $500,000 euros. Then the following day, Automatic also successfully petitioned the court to seize Groot's personal assets, including his half in the ownership of his home, his car, and they were able to freeze his bank accounts. Yeah, so it was really interesting that the court noted that Automatic hadn't even been touched to resolve the matter. And he just woke up one day and he couldn't access his bank accounts, and his car was almost taken away. They didn't end up taking his car away, but it's been fascinating seeing updates now on the Festinger website, where Groot is he's revealing more of himself. He's always been a bit of a mystery spammer, right? And he's been spamming the community for several years, and now it's come out that he used to be a psychologist before he started this website. He suffers some kind of progressive muscular disease, and this is what led him to start this website. He wasn't able to go into work during the pandemic. He running this website allows him to make money with his limited mobility. So this is going back to court at the end of this month on November 27th. So the day after WP Engine's injunction hearing.
They're going to be when busy it goes back to there, court.
Yeah. So when this goes back to court, it'll be for a decision on whether to lift the ex parte ban on the Festinger website. So that means allowing the website to be up and running again. And Groot seems to be pretty confident. He's announced on his website that he'll be up and running again in mid-December. So, watch this space, I guess, to see whether
time will tell. Time will tell. Okay, I think we've got through it. We managed it.
Yes.
It's definitely a little bit longer than we anticipated. Hopefully you stuck with us. When I do the preamble for the show, I will make absolutely sure to mention the time at which the drama bit ends and the normal stuff begins, so people can skip through it if they wish to do that. But what an unprecedented episode. I'm imagining that the next episode that we do in about 3 months' time will probably be full of equally interesting things, probably from courtrooms and places like that. But thank you, Ray, for sifting through that with me. I really appreciate it. There's a lot to take in.
There has been the past, not even the past 3 months, the past 6 to 7 weeks have been a lot.
Unprecedented.
So it's, thank you.
It's going to test the resilience of our community for sure. And we'll definitely see the WordPress community looking different in some way, shape or form. But yeah, thank you for stepping through all of those articles. As I said, there'll be links in the show notes to everything that we talked about, and maybe even some links to some of the stuff that we decided not to talk about. Thank you, Ray. Take it easy.
Thank you, Nathan. See you later.
Okay, I hope that you enjoyed that. An absolute pleasure chatting to Ray. Don't forget to go and check out her email, therepository.email. You can find it over there and subscribe. She really is doing a stellar job of keeping up to date with all the WordPress news. But hopefully you enjoyed it. If you did, head to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 398, and leave us a comment there. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also joined by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go out to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for their support of the WP Builds podcast. Just one last mention of our Black Friday deals page, wpbuilds.com/deals. Go and bookmark that page. And if you are a product owner, hit the add a deal button. And if you would like pride of place on that page, hit the get started button on one of the black cards at the top. And we will make sure to add your deal right at the top of that page, which gets quite a few hits in the run up to Black Friday. Okay, I'm going to fade in some cheesy music. I'm going to say, stay safe. Have a good week. Bye-bye for now.